A beacon shining in the night, sometimes obscured by a shadow, reinforced by a wall of ice, always protected by a podcast overlord.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Arrow Squad, this is Martin the Flash.
And this is the Chameleon. And
what?
And what?
Oh my god, are we left to our own devices, Cammy?
We're missing somebody.
He must be hiding in the shadow somewhere.
Flash, where's Shadow?
Well, I think Shadow couldn't make it tonight. He's left in our charge.
We're left to ourselves? What are we going to do?
Oh, we're going to go wild and crazy with this one.
But I think he did leave us a message, but we have to save it.
Yeah, that's right. He did. Yeah, so we've got something from the shadow.
I'm not very good at being patient, though. Are you sure I can do that?
Well, we'll have to distract you with some Arrow talk. How's that?
Okay, I'm distracted already.
Cool. Well, welcome, Arrow Squad. This is Season 5, Episode 12, Bratva.
Bratva!
You're excited for this one, weren't you?
I was so excited for this episode. I've been waiting for the Bratva episode since we first saw the, like, Bratva captain tattoo in Season 1. I was pretty excited when I saw the title of this episode.
Well, did it live up to your expectations then? What did you rate it?
It did in a lot of ways. I loved the setting. So that was the thing that I was pretty hyped for, was the whole setting of being in Russia and how were they going to play up that aesthetic. And in that aspect, it totally lived up to my expectations. What about you?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think especially for me, how a lot of the flashbacks were tying all the way back to Season 1 and a bit of Season 2. Just some of the things that Oliver was doing and the quick flashbacks, like that one scene where he asks, you'll recognize these drugs. And we see a quick flashback to Thea when she was using drugs and dealing with her dealer. So just those little touches like that is really bringing this 5-season arc full circle. And I'm loving that part of it.
Yeah, and we get to see, you know, Oliver in basically his Season 1 costume in the flashbacks. So it's getting pretty cool. I'm liking it.
Yeah.
We should get to the part where we give our rating, though. Let's put some numbers to this.
All right.
What do you rate this episode?
I'm giving it an 8.5 OTAs.
Yeah, good choice.
Oh, so great to have our original trio back together again. Just seeing the three of them on the screen put an ear-to-ear grin on my face. It just, there seemed to be some type of electric energy when they were suddenly back together in the Arrow Cave. And it was funny how fast they were, too, because there's like, hey, Diggle, you're back. Welcome. Okay, we got to get to doing this and this and this. And it didn't even allow us to absorb the moment.
I loved that moment. And I loved, you know, it was rushed. With them getting back together, but then throughout the rest of the episode, we got to see quite a few scenes of them working together. We got to see scenes of, you know, Oliver and Diggle and Felicity, all of the different, you know, parts of OTA. We got to see that throughout, so it didn't feel too rushed once it got into it. I loved that aspect of this episode. I rated the episode a 7.6, which is like just above a 7.5, but I think I tend to rate things a little lower than you, so like I did really like quite a lot of it. That's just a normal rating for me, I think.
Right. Well, that's 76%, so that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I liked, I really liked about 76% of the episode.
I didn't realize we were going to get into points like that. I thought it was an 8.5, 7.5 kind of thing. I didn't know we were allowed to do that. That's getting very
I funny. Had to get really, like, it was just slightly above a 7.5.
Cool. Well, what about, before we dive into all the details, did you have a favorite moment from this episode? Because I think we're kind
of
feeling it, aren't we? The same.
Yeah, from what we've kind of squealed about this episode before, I feel like we have the exact same favorite moment. Mm-hmm. I loved the moment where Oliver tells Diggle and Felicity that he needs them to be better than him. That was such a great moment, and you said that was one of your favorites too, right?
Yeah, because it was just really showing Oliver, even his leadership and his growth as a character, as a human being within the show, how he's starting to come full circle himself, and he's realized what he has gone through over the last 5 years, and the hardships he's had to endure, and the horrible decisions he's had to make, and actions to take. He doesn't want Diggle and Felicity to have to go through that. He wants them to rely on his experience and what he's come through, so they don't have to do the same thing and have to live with the same burdens. And I loved that he was applying that to them, like just showing his concern for not only his team but the closest people in his life,
you know. And there was also this feeling of like he needs them to sort of be his light. I know we've talked about Diggle sort of being a moral compass for the team before. We've talked about Felicity in a sense being a moral compass in a different way for the team before. And it's nice to see Oliver vocalize that he needs that. And of course, later in the episode, we do see Diggle come back and say, you know, you're just as good as us. Like, your morality is not inferior to ours, like you are good too, just reaffirming his sort of hero status. So that was nice as well. But that initial moment where Oliver opens up to them in that way, that was so great to see.
It was. And that, like the moment you just said to with Diggle, that is also them returning the respect and support that he needs, you know. Just, and that's what was so great about having these three together, because like we said, how it just seemed so fast to transition and what they had to get done. That also is showing that they are still a well-oiled machine, the three of them.
Oh, yeah.
So
they work so well together.
So well together, exactly.
Yeah, so speaking of the mission, I know I already mentioned I really love the setting of Russia. What did you think of the change in setting and getting to see some flashback characters in present day?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think just seeing the contrast between what it used to look like and then seeing it again today, and how everybody's kind of aged, and the setting, the scenery has kind of changed and modernized a little bit. It was really, really neat to see. I think mm-hmm. one of my favorite moments too was when, why is his name slipping my head? The main Russian guy.
Anatoly,
thank you. when Oliver and Diggle sit down at his desk in modern day times, and he's like, oh, it's so great to see you too, Diggle. And I didn't realize that they knew each other.
Right.
Well, but just the way he welcomed him in and said, oh, it's so good to see you. That was kind of a neat little moment.
Yeah, I think they had this. It was really cool, you know, because with the setting of being in Russia, there's aesthetically, you know, different sets, which is always fun to play with. You know, we love Starling City, but it does, you know, we do see the same sets quite a lot. And it's nice to sort of branch out a little bit, of course. But also the sort of aesthetic that they play with of being in Russia. You know, you run into these like all-knowing villains, and, you know, the what happens in Russia stays in Russia vibe, and everything just feels a little bit edgier, a little bit more cutthroat. We get to see characters go undercover that we don't normally see go undercover. You know, that was really cool too. And I loved that about the whole episode, that whole aesthetic.
Yeah. I mean, didn't you agree when I can't remember which character it was, but they said, why didn't they bring Dinah with them? And I was thinking exactly the same thing. Like, you're going under this undercover mission and you got Curtis and Ragman. And I mean, sure, Ragman was probably would really want to have him with you in a fight, but it was an unusual trio to be going undercover, and for Felicity to stand in there with like nerves of steel. I was really impressed with her there.
I loved that moment for her. It was, you know, of course, I mean, it was pretty kind of like hot and scary at the same time, you know, and she's like blackmailing this guy, and, you know, we see Curtis and Rory and were like, I hope you guys are convincing bodyguards, because like if something went down. But it was really cool to see, and it felt really true to character for her as well. And that was something I appreciated about this episode in terms of what they had the characters do. Oliver with, you know, his part of the mission, Diggle, you know, with the conflict with the torture scene, and you know, his part of the mission, Rory, Curtis, Felicity. Everybody seemed to, at least to an extent, stay in character in terms of their purpose for being there. And that was pretty cool. The overall theme seemed to revolve around inner moral conflicts. What did you think of that sort of angle for this?
Yeah, like it was, I think somebody posted on the Facebook page, it seems to be crossing the line was an overall theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's good. It's good for our characters to, I guess, challenge their own morality and how far they have to understand for themselves what is the line that they will not cross. What's their breaking points? Mm-hmm. So I really, really enjoyed seeing them each push their boundaries to see where it is they will draw the line. And that was, I liked it. It was good. It really brought some deep drama to our characters and to this. As you said, the whole setting in Russia kind of brings that out, because they're not in their territory anymore.
Yeah.
So they have to raise
their game. It's a good place to sort of explore a different side of what their heroism looks like, mm-hmm. and, you know, how far they're willing to go. And it sort of feels like the space where nothing counts. So, you know, we really do see, like, you know, Diggle is kind of towing a line with, you know, again, with like the torture scene and things like that. Felicity towing the line with the blackmail and, you know, does it count if you're blackmailing a bad guy? And it's interesting to see. And, you know, to some extent, you see that as well in the, you know, secondary characters as well. Rory has his conflict and, you know, it was pretty cool. It tied together pretty well.
Yeah, I think as a whole, the episode was really sewn together nicely. There wasn't anything that really looked like it stood out and didn't fit in. And the whole episode was nice and seamless. And that I really appreciated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the flashbacks this week?
With Talia, you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Talia, I really liked them.
Training our season one Oliver, or almost season one Oliver.
Pre-season one Oliver. I was a fan of her as soon as she showed up on screen.
And, yeah, I like her.
It's she, without her even doing too much action, I guess you could say, she just has this air of, I don't know what the word is. I want to say something like experience, but wisdom maybe.
Yeah.
She presents it and exudes it the way she's teaching Oliver in such a way that if I was Oliver, I'd just be absorbing it like a sponge, because she is just presenting it in that such a way that it was cool. I really loved her. And that one scene, I think it's right in the beginning of the episode when he's like, these are just low level street thugs, drug dealers. What are mm-hmm. you? And she's like, yeah, but this is practice. Let's get you. You know, get you going. And he jumps down there. It's a great sequence. And, mm-hmm. You know, then she jumps down afterwards. And when she fires that arrow at him and he catches it, that was a cool moment.
Yeah. There's what is the movie? Tomorrowland. Did you ever see Tomorrowland?
Is that the George Clooney one?
Yeah.
Yep, I saw that one. Really liked it.
Okay. So there's a character in Tomorrowland who's, you know, she looks like 12. She's like played by a 12-year-old, but she's sort of stuck in time. So she's actually like, you know, 65 years old. And so she's having to play an adult, but like, you know, she's just a kid. I always like seeing characters have to play that sort of dynamic. And I think to an extent, that's sort of what we're seeing with Talia, where she's sort of having to play like, you know, either if it's due to just having a lot of life experience, or if it's due to being a part of the family that controls the Lazarus Pit, and she might be a lot older than we think. She's playing this sort of like much wiser, much older teacher, even though visibly, you know, she's probably about the same age as Oliver. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool to see. And I think she's doing a really good job with it.
She is. Yeah. I hope to see more of her. I hope she continues to be in the rest of the flashbacks for this season. I would really like to see her pop up in present day. And because I don't know, at least me personally, I don't know what's happened to her. If Talia is supposed to be still around in the story.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they've defined that yet, but it would be pretty cool to see her show up, maybe being an anti-hero in present day.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm really enjoying her. So hopefully we do see her more.
Yeah. But the flashbacks, I think, tied in pretty well to the whole like moral conflict and figuring out the lines bit of present day. We talked a little about Diggle facing a moral dilemma. Where do you think that will go with his future storylines now that we kind of know where his line is?
Well, did he have a line? I don't think Oliver let him cross it yet. So we knew Diggle was ready to jump clean over his line. So, I mean, let's bring it back to that scene, because that was intense. We have not seen Diggle that angry and that let loose, I don't think, ever.
Yeah. It was fun. It was entertaining. I know it's super dark, but it made for great entertainment.
Well, it did. And it really allowed David Ramsey to really show an angle of his performance we haven't seen yet. I mean, he really,
for sure,
he let loose and there was no holding it back. I think Oliver was very walking the edge with him, and any moment longer, I don't think he would have been able to stop him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so great to see Diggle out in the field again. Mm-hmm. David Ramsey does fantastic work with action scenes. So it just elevates all the action scenes. And there's this heightened sense of like, you know, this, you know, you're clearly watching an action star type of thing.
Yeah.
And he does a great job with that. And adding to it the sort of like, you know, it's in Russia and anybody could die or anybody could kill. And it made for really fun action scenes, even for me. And I'm not usually the one like getting hyped over the action sequences. I've really enjoyed Diggle's action sequences this episode.
Yeah. He performs it well too, because some people you can tell that they don't have any fight training and it just doesn't, they don't throw a punch very well, but Diggle, it's believable. You wouldn't want to step into a ring with him.
Right.
But what I find funny too is, because I also watched the TV show Blue Bloods, and
I've heard of it.
It's the Tom Selleck drama about New York City police.
Okay.
And David Ramsey is in it. He plays the mayor of New York City and he's in a wheelchair. It's completely opposite of what he plays on this show. There's no action at all, and he's always dressed in a business suit and rolling around his mayor's office every time Tom Selleck has to go see him. So it's it's interesting to see the contrast in characters that he plays.
That's really impressive, though, to have that range.
Yeah, but what about you? Because you'd asked me like, where do you think this could lead for Diggle? Do you think he's overcome it? Do you think Oliver helped dial him back? Or do you think he's going to, again, lose it?
You know, for Diggle, he's had moral dilemmas in the past. You know, we saw that kind of come up quite a bit with the storyline involving his brother. So I think at this point, we're going to see him figure out for himself where his lines are. And I think this episode is sort of a catalyst for that, where he's sort of figuring out how far he can go, even when it's not a situation where it's like against his brother or anything like that.
Right.
I think that the way that will come into play in his future storyline is, I don't know if he and Lila have the same moral compass when it comes to necessary violence, risking innocent lives. You know, she's the head of Argus and she's made a lot of really tough calls with that. And we've seen in the past, sometimes she's been a little bit more cutthroat than he is when it comes to like risking civilians or, you know, using violence for various means. So I think having him figure out his sort of line in the sand or start that process will come into play when I'm guessing he's going to run into a conflict with her.
Right. Yeah. Cause they might disagree on something.
Yeah.
Gotcha. For sure. Well, how about let's talk a little bit about Felicity. Cause she had a bit of a storyline herself in this episode.
Yeah. I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah, it was really fun going through the Facebook comments in the Arrow Squad Facebook group at the part where it came to Felicity's storyline, because every time it would come to her scene, the comments were just going crazy. Like, everybody was like, oh, I love this Felicity, or, you know, what's she going to do? Or, you know, people rooting for her decision, or questioning this or that. It was fun to see everybody else's reaction, and everybody seemed to really get into this storyline. So I was like, yep, me too. I'm into this.
Well, she did well. I mean, to walk into a situation like that, we already talked about it a little bit, but she really pulled it off. And I think that's going to help her as a character also to have some confidence in the field, because, you know, she's screwed up before and, you know, she's gotten herself in trouble. So I think this is really good for her. But the whole, I mean, we saw hints of her having whatever's on that USB stick, that there's a lot of information on there that I think she is just like finger twitching at. And it's almost like it's drawing her back into her darker world that where she came from. And
which is, I mean, it's so interesting because obviously she's already in a dark world working for a vigilante, right? But it's interesting to think of it as sort of a darker world, because with her superpower being, you know, like the techie hacking software, information retrieval, all that sort of stuff, it does take it to a little bit of a darker place, in that there's not as clear cut of morals the way there would be for like a physical vigilante. Like Oliver is like kill or not kill, you know what I mean? And he sort of has to figure out where he stands on that.
Right.
Whereas for Felicity, you know, there's things like, you know, we've seen her have to redirect the bomb before to kill the minimal amount of lives, or we saw her in this episode try to figure out how to get the bomb away without risking people's lives, and Rory had to risk his life over it, you know. And there's, when it comes to like the techie disarming things, accessing information, that's such a undefined moral area.
Yeah, no, I guess that's a good point you bring. And with some of the information that she has, I mean, it has to do with the government and all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, if there's things going on behind the scenes that the public doesn't know, and it's not necessarily good things, where do you draw the line on that?
And yeah, does she have an obligation to pursue all of the criminals that she now has information on?
Exactly. And
it was interesting, again, to see the feedback, because, you know, perhaps it's because we're biased because we love Felicity, but it seems like most of the feedback was definitely rooting for her and rooting for her decision to use the information for the sake of the mission.
Yeah.
But I would also be interested to see, you know, both sides. I mean, I know I'm rooting for her, but, you know, I'm wondering if that's more just for the sake of it's more entertaining because I want to see her take people down.
Well, and maybe because there's been so much crying lately of her being kind of a sappy, you know, depressing, whatever. So maybe the fact that we're seeing her step up and be strong and be out there again, that's all we need. It doesn't even have to be this situation that she's in. It could have been anything, and I think we'd be just as happy with it. Because it gets her out of that, you know, woe is me, and that kind of thing that everyone was complaining about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, maybe it's because I watch The Flash, I'm so used to seeing people cry, but I really, you know, for Arrow, I don't think any of the characters have really been that down this season. I think the only time we've really seen her cry this season was when her boyfriend that nobody cared about got killed.
Well, yeah, and I guess I'm more leaning over not just this season alone, but last season and stuff too. So I think this season is bringing her back.
I mean, we have got to see some strong, we've got to see, I wish we would get more, you know, storylines for her, because she knocked this one out of the park, and she always seems to. I wish we'd get more like strong, like she gets to be in the field, you know, like another undercover one we got for her way back in the day was when she got to go undercover in the casino. That was so cool to see her get to, you know, because she comes from Vegas and she got to count cards and do all that.
That was,
you know,
fun. Yeah.
Those are much more fun to see. I do like those moments for her.
So, well, maybe this is the beginning. Maybe the door's open. They wanted to test a scene with her or test a story arc with her, and there's going to be a lot of fan reaction, obviously positive to it, so maybe they'll and the writers probably enjoyed it as well, so maybe this is just the start of a new Felicity for us.
Yep. I'm a fan of what they've done with her in this episode and in the past couple ones, honestly. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've given her some good content. Yeah. It's kind of a change of pace because all the other heroes are all like physical heroes. So with her and now also with Curtis, we get to see sort of a different kind of hero. Mm-hmm. It's a bit more modern.
Yeah. Well, since you mentioned it a bit in our talk there with, because her, she was in a lot of scenes with Rory. So let's kind of talk a bit about Rory, because
this
was an interesting episode. From start to finish, I was constantly thinking like, wow, he is getting a lot of screen time in this one.
And that's,
that is unusual. And with some TV shows, I was thinking, okay, he's getting a lot of screen time. Something's going to happen to him because he hasn't had a lot before. And, I mean, he got to have a very heroic moment, and it was cool. We got to see kind of the limits, or not the limits, of what his powers can do.
Yeah.
Because, holy cow, he wrapped up a nuclear bomb and suppressed the blast of that. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was, you know, I was left the entire time wondering, because I knew from sort of mild behind the scenes spoilers, I knew something was going to happen where he was going to leave. And I was like, are they going to kill him? Is he going to switch sides like Evelyn? I was very curious throughout this whole episode where they were taking, what they were doing with him. And I sort of started to wonder at the point where he seemed to be like tattling on Felicity. I was like, wait, is he switching sides? Is he becoming a bad guy? Is he trying to like turn the team against each other? Cause it didn't really make sense. I was like, you're sitting outside running cover for a guy who's torturing somebody, but you're concerned about her blackmailing some guy. Like, I didn't get it, but by the end of it, I was really interested.
You said you've heard a little bit of behind the scenes stuff. Do you know, is there any reasons why he's leaving the show, or they're taking him off the show? Have you heard anything?
I don't know if he's gone for good. I just knew that he was sort of leaving and wouldn't be filming as much for a couple episodes. Now, I don't know if he's already, you know, I don't know how long that will last, if there will still be little bits and pieces in a couple episodes.
But no details around
that.
No details around why. If it's the writers just feel like he's not fitting in, or like you've commented here, his powers and stuff maybe not fitting in with the team.
The powers, I know we've talked about it on the show before, and I've also seen quite a few comments online, that while people, including myself, were kind of enjoying sort of his personality, the powers didn't seem to fit the dynamic of the show of Arrow. It felt like the type of superpowers that might fit more like on Legends or Flash, maybe. At the end of the... What now?
It'd be cool if he made his way over to Legends. I wouldn't mind having him. Because I actually liked him. I liked his character. I liked the actor and how he performed. He had a kind of a, I don't know, boy next door. Something about him just made me trust him. I never ever felt like he would betray the team or anything. There was just something about him that I really liked him. And I mean, I wasn't one of these ones that thought his powers didn't fit on the show. I kind of had a feeling that Team Arrow could use someone with a little bit of ability, because every once in a while they're facing someone a little overpowering, and it's just nice to have him there to back them up, I guess. So I didn't mind him. I don't know who Ragman is. I've never seen him in the comic books before. I don't know if he's made up for the TV show or what. But
I think there's a version of him that exists in the comic books. They're pretty certain.
Yeah. So I don't
know. But I don't think it's super, like you said, I don't think it's super well known or well defined.
I'm sad to see him go. I liked him more than I liked Wild Dog. So it
agreed.
You know, whatever we feel about his powers, I liked him, and I liked that he got to have some scenes with Felicity in here. It showed that they actually had some really good chemistry. So.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see. I was so impressed with what he did with the nuclear bomb. He got to have a heroic moment to walk away with, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and like you said, his whole sort of thing for the past few episodes, at least, he has been sort of by Felicity's side through a lot of this, and it has been really good to see, like, Felicity have a friend who's not just sort of a friend because they also do techie things. You know, it was nice, and it definitely, I think, endeared him to the audience. There was a big TV Guide poll. It's either TV Guide or Hollywood Reporter ran a poll about which of the four was everybody's favorite, and he had the lead, I think, by like 70%.
Oh, wow.
And followed by, get this, Evelyn, which I did not expect. And get the, like, this is a big poll, like many, many votes. And they showed the results to Wendy, one of the showrunners for Arrow. And she said she was surprised by the results. So I'm not sure if the show and, you know, the audience were necessarily on the same page with the newbies, but who knows, honestly.
Hmm. Well, it is interesting. And it's contrast, exact opposite. He got the less screen time and he was the most favorite, and Wild Dog has the most screen time and he was probably near the bottom, right?
Yeah. Wild Dog was the lowest rated one.
So I feel bad for the actors. I always behind the scenes, cause I've met a lot of them in person, and I always feel bad. Like, man, if you saw those results and you realize, well, I'm the least liked out of her, that I wonder how that plays on them, or did they just laugh it off?
I'm sure they just learned to, you know, not take it personally. You know, it's a character, it's not them. And I'm sure they're all wonderful actors. It just kind of, you know, it's hit or miss sometimes when you add a bunch of characters as to which ones will fit best on the show. And, you know, I don't really count Curtis because he was pre-existing, so we kind of already have an emotional connection to Curtis.
Yeah.
But of Wild Dog, Evelyn, and Rory, I mean, I'm with you. I felt like Rory really fit with the team pretty well. And I do think he will come back. I think now that his powers have changed, they're probably going to give him some breathing room and then wait for there to be a situation for him to need to come back.
Yeah. I think what the one thing you said, which I really liked, was that he was Felicity's friend and there was nothing else behind him. There was no romance.
Yeah.
There was no tech connection or nothing. They were just friends, just two people that got along and they looked they looked out for each other as a friend. And that I thought was really cool. I really liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice. And I think it worked well for both characters. We did mention Curtis and Wild Dog. Which one do you want to dive into next?
Well, let's do Wild Dog because he had quite a bit of scenes with Lance here. And we haven't actually even brought Lance up yet. How cool was that to see him walk through the door? I wasn't expecting
He's back.
And it's the Lance that we love too. Not struggling. He seemed to have collected himself a little bit.
I was super happy to see Lance come back. I felt like, you know, the show had been missing so many characters for so long. You know, I mean, we're still missing Thea. Like, put her face on a milk carton. Where is she?
Yeah, well, they've been disgusted.
So, having Lance come back was pretty cool. And, you know, getting to see, you know, he's kind of recovered from his thing. Cause, you know, like you mentioned earlier, the whole like sappy crying thing, you know, that poor guy, bless his heart, he's had to do more crying and sappy scenes than probably anybody on this show in ages.
Yes.
So let him get off of his whole, like, you know, spiral downward and cry every other scene thing and finally like get back in the game. So that was good to see. And I think, you know, pairing him off with Wild Dog for the whole like interview prep was an odd pairing to me at first, but all the reasoning ended up making sense and it totally worked for me.
Yeah, it was an odd pairing, and not to make it sound like we have a pair of black hearts here. I mean, the reason Lance was the reason he was having a tough go of things, I mean, I could totally relate and feel for the guy. You know, with how many times his daughters
When we make fun of people for crying, we're saying this with love. Yes. We love these characters. Yeah. We do. And we understand crying over dead people is a good reason to cry.
Exactly.
Don't get us wrong. I mean, I'm a villain, but The Flash, I'm like,
yeah, you kind of laugh at those kind of things. No, exactly. But yeah, no, him and Wild Dog, that, again, it took me off. I was like, what? That's an odd pairing. But Wild Dog kind of stood in there toe-to-toe with him and really proved to be a good pillar of support for Lance and almost like a partner and a bit of a friendship kind of developed there. It surprised me that it worked.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I thought it showed some maturity and intuition on Wild Dog's side, which, you know, I hadn't really been a fan of him, but they've really been pulling out some good content for him in the past, I want to say, two episodes ago, and now in this episode.
Yeah.
There's been some moments there I've liked for him.
Yeah, and I did find it kind of funny when he admitted to, you know, Oliver didn't want to bring me to Russia because I might cause a little too much trouble.
True.
So, yeah, you wouldn't want him running around Russia with guns blazing, I don't think, because, you need stealth and you know, quiet behind the scenes kind of missions.
Yeah. And the ability to like dress up all fancy and go threaten a mob boss or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that was, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. What do you want to see for Lance going forward? What would you like him to do now?
Well, remind me again, what's his position at the mayor's office? He's the right-hand man kind of thing?
Okay, so he was, what was his sequence? He was police officer, then detective, then was he chief of police at one point?
And then
when he got appointed to Oliver's administration, what was his official title?
That's what I'm blanking on. He's like his right-hand man, I believe. Like when Oliver has to leave town or go away or do whatever, Lance is the one who steps in his place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Oliver's mayor... Okay, so it's not sheriff, but it's like... terms of story structure, it's going to be something pretty similar to that.
I'm just totally mind-blanking on it. Listeners, help us out here. I can't remember.
Drag us in the comments, guys. Reply and be like, this is so obvious. I can't believe you guys forgot.
Where would I like to see him go? I just want him to be, like, I love when he shows up to the Arrow Cave. I like him to be kind of part of the team, and because he's got different connections and stuff that he can pull from and help, which I think is cool. And I want to see him kind of get back to that, because it's just fun when he's around. He's got a neat reaction to things, which I always find entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What do you want to see for him?
Well, like I mentioned before, I kind of would love for his storyline to take an upbeat turn. I want to see him, you know, sort of get something good out of life. You know, he's been through so much. So, you know, I want to see him actually thrive in this position. You know, I want to see the benefits of going to rehab pay off, where, you know, we see a little bit more emotional stability and, you know, success in whatever work area he has and success in being able to help the team. And, you know, we got to see him at some points in his sort of high moments where he was actually getting to give Oliver advice before, and I think he's in a place where he could do that again, maybe on future cases. And then also in terms of like personal life, I think one of the things that really brought some like lightness and levity to his life before was Mama Smoke.
I was just thinking that you read my mind totally.
Right. I would love for that to come back. Nothing quenches the like dark, teary moments like having Mama Smoke burst in the room. She would be great to come back for some sort of, you know, lighthearted special episode, or, you know, somebody's got to be watching Diggle's kid, or, you know, whatever. She would be great.
Why did she leave again, though?
Storyline. What now?
Why was it that she left? Because it wasn't a good leave. Was it because he was drinking again? What?
I think it was. Yeah. You know, I saw Charlotte Ross recently at a con, and she was talking, she and Paul were there, and they have an entire like headcanon worked out of what happened between Mama Smoke and Papa Lance behind the scenes. And it didn't actually happen on screen, but like they've gone around and like just told people that this is what happened, that basically like they broke up because he wasn't like, I don't know if he wasn't staying sober. I don't know. But there was sort of like this on and off breakup, and then she went back to Vegas. I don't know. There's this whole dramatic story. I would love to see that work its way back onto screen.
Yeah, I'm with you there for sure. That's what we want for Lance. Get a little bit of happiness in his life. He deserves it.
Yeah, he does. He's been through so much. I mean, of all the characters.
That's true. That is so true. Okay, well, what did you want to say about Curtis? You kind of liking where he was in this episode, it kind of fitting his part on the team that he's seeming to finally figure out.
Yeah. I mean, what is happening to me? I have so many positives. where are my negatives? Where's my deep salty analytics? I liked Curtis as well. I love that he's sort of fitting into this role where he's not trying to be a physical hero out in the field again. Like he got to be the brains behind different operations, and I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Did you like him teaming up with Rory undercover? What did you think of that?
Well, because they both had to really put on a good front. You could tell they were nervous as all heck and not sure that they could do it. I mean, to me as a viewer, I'm looking at them and going, I wouldn't buy these guys being tough bodyguards. Come on. But it was fun. It was entertaining. And I think I like finally what they're doing with Curtis, where he is realizing what he's really worth to the team and, you know, what skills are best used. So it was kind of neat to see him up there. I mean, him and Felicity together are always good.
I thought it was pretty cool by seeing Curtis, Felicity, and Rory all team up. I felt like we were definitely seeing a very modern take on what heroism looks like. You know, we see the like software hero, hardware hero, you know, Rory's got superpowers, but he is also sort of like a brains and intelligence behind operations sometimes, you know, from working with Felicity. So it was an interesting way to go about a mission, and it was pretty cool. And they all looked fantastic.
Well, you tie it back to that scene in the back of the van. It seemed like Rory was a bit of the moral check for those three. So that's cool. That was a neat little bit for him to kind of step into. Yeah.
I was resistant to it at first, but it came from the right character and it made sense in the long haul.
Well, there's one thing here that I wanted to bring up, because I would be remiss if I didn't mention Dinah Lance, our new canary.
Yeah.
I mean,
she got to join the team in Russia.
Yeah. And the way this episode started, it seems like some time has passed since last episode when they introduced her, because she seemed to be already kind of part of the team and a little bit friendly with people. And it looks like there's been some time for some gelling to happen by the time they're going to Russia, which I thought was cool. So it kind of just gets us right to it. And she's now part of the team and everything, which is cool. I mean, they're still figuring out their relationships, but what did you think for her when her and Oliver went out on that side mission? Just seeing, I mean, come on, Black Canary and Green Arrow, the two of them going out on a mission together. I thought it was cool. There's something about the chemistry with her, which is a big reason why I'm loving her over the other canaries. They just seem to have a chemistry. And when they walked into that building and the camera's kind of, you know, free flying along, they run up the stairs and they punch a few guys out and they come flying out the glass window. It was a cool scene with them two together.
I'm definitely, one of the things you mentioned, how you're preferring her over the other canaries. I definitely agree with that. You know, I mean, I was hesitant about her at first just because she was a meta, you know, and I've just been that sort of like grumpy old schooler, kind of resistant against metas.
I know, but we're fighting on that point. That's okay.
Right. But, you know, like she's definitely set the bar higher. And
well, you know what? I know why you're so against it. Sorry to interrupt
Go ahead.
I know why you're so against it, because you're a chameleon. Do you have any powers? I'm the Flash. I'm a meta.
Right? I should be more open-hearted towards other metas. It's hypocritical. You know what I am appreciating?
I'm sorry to have thrown
Arrow,
you off there.
And also, frankly, in Flash and in a lot of shows, a lot of times when a new superheroine gets introduced, she's always just another love interest. Always.
Okay.
And this, I'm really appreciating that she's not like, she's not here flirting with Oliver. Oliver is not here flirting with her. Like, he's got a girlfriend who's already betraying him. He doesn't need any more, you know, whatever. They feel like actually believable, like the unheard of dynamic on the CW of like, they're actually platonic. Now, of course, that could change. And I'm probably, if it does, I'm going to root pretty hard against that. But for her sake, if nothing else. But for now, like, I can believably see them out fighting in the field. And I don't feel like somebody's trying to, like, pitch me superheroes falling in love or something like that. Like, they're actually just fighting out in the field as teammates.
Right.
And that's making sense to me.
And I'm totally with you on that, because I think, which we'll get to her. I mean, we see Oliver still kind of involved with Susan, but obviously, so we'll get to that. Obviously there, we see that that's going to change probably very soon. I think because we also know we've got a full season 6 already. So they're probably, if this is going to be the new Black Canary, and if they're going to follow the comics at all, where it's Black Canary and Green Arrow, I don't think that's going to develop for a while. I think we're going to get to watch them grow as teammates and fighting side by side for a while before anything romantic happens, if they were going to go through that route.
I mean, we've seen Oliver with like 47 canaries at this point. I feel like this girl deserves like a storyline that doesn't go romantic with him.
Yeah.
Also because, you know, I mean, we've got him and the cast and the crew all saying, you know, that his like his light and all of that is Felicity. It would kind of put, I don't want to see this character put at a disadvantage to where she's having to be sort of pit against Felicity in a sense, in terms of like the love interest. You know what I mean? It would put her at such a disadvantage. And I think at this point, as long as she remains like a superheroine in her own right, then we can actually root for her without feeling like she's vying for the same role. It would allow her to have her own story, not just a repeat of the previous canaries. The previous canaries were both romantically involved with Oliver already. So yeah, that sort of aspect of comic canon has already happened, you know, to times 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, if you count the various incarnations of it. So this one, I would love to see her remain separate and platonic and not go through that as well. But, you know, I am, of course, saying that after seeing her for 3 episodes. So I don't think my opinion will change, but, you know.
Well, she might grow on us. You never know. I am actually in agreement.
No, I like her. She's, you know. That aspect of it, I do like.
Yeah. No, I'm in total agreement with you on everything you just said. I think to keeping her separate from anything romantic will allow her to grow on us and allow us to watch her character and her story arc grow and, and develop and evolve without anything. And I think it'll allow it that will let us appreciate and respect her character way more.
You know what I saw pitched? I want to get your reaction to this because I saw this suggested like quite a few times online already.
Okay.
What if she becomes Thea's love interest?
Well, have we ever had any hint that Thea might like girls? I don't know if I've ever seen that.
I mean, I've seen some people who liked her with Sin. Black Canary's protege back in the day.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I know the actress who played Sin liked her with Thea as well. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a way to get, you know, Black Canary with a Queen family member. I think it would be cool.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't be against it, but I don't know because Sarah Lance it already kind of has covered that, so I don't know. Even though she was with Oliver, now she on Legends, she pretty much likes to stick to ladies. So I don't know. Maybe, I guess. How about we just stay away from romance altogether for a while? Let's just not have it.
I like that as well. Who needs that? What's Valentine's Day? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't even. Who's this Valentine person? Why does he get a day all to himself or herself? All right. Well, we mentioned it briefly. Let's get through this Susan's betrayal reveal at the end. I mean,
watching your guys' reaction to this on Facebook was hilarious, and also on Twitter and everywhere else. It was just this long stream of, ew, ugh, Oliver, no.
Well, I mean, I defended it a few episodes ago when I was saying,
did you?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
I think it was either when you guys had me come on as a guest host, or maybe it was in one of my long feed. I think it was when I was guest. Anyway, I had defended the idea that if she's not betraying him, that Oliver just needs something outside of the Arrow team, somebody that he can connect to and confide in that is not involved on the inside at all. And that's why I was kind of like, you know what, this might be okay. It might be okay for him to just have that one relationship that's not on the inside, that doesn't know anything. So I didn't mind.
This is what we get.
But half
it is,
of us,
I mean, it's a comic
this,
book
right?
show. That's always what we get.
That's true. But I think half of us predicted that she's going to turn on him. Everyone seems to have seen it coming. And
yeah, we did.
So let me ask you now, is she only involved with him to get information and to dive into all of this background story that she's trying to find out? Or does she actually have an inkling of feelings for him? Where do you think she is?
I would pref- for her sake, for the sake of her, like, being, like, a good, believable villain, I would prefer for her to not have feelings and for this to just totally be cutthroat. But, you know, it's the CW. She might also, like, have feelings for him and it turns into a whole thing.
Right. Now, let's bring up another point that we have talked about before a couple episodes ago. Do you think he knows that she's trying to play him?
Okay, see, that is what I'm wondering, because, you know, I won't go into all this again because I know we've talked about this at length in previous podcasts, how him opening up to a reporter who, you know, is set up in such a position to where she could, you know, hurt his team and family and all of that feels very out of character for him. It feels like a tiny bit of, like, character assassination. The only way to redeem that would be if he's also playing her in return. So I kind of have to still hope that that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like it from this episode, unless I'm missing some glaringly obvious clues that others are picking up on, but I definitely want to believe that that's still a possibility. Otherwise, it really does feel like it's undermining a lot of the things we're supposed to be believing about his skills and character. Right. I don't know. What do you think? Is he playing her?
I think I'm with you. I sure hope he is. I don't. I'm kind of torn between my original feelings that he just needs someone outside of the inner circle. That's kind of making me think that he doesn't realize it yet, but. I have a feeling he does. Because there was one scene in this episode. I found it a little too blatantly obvious when they're in his office there. And she gets the phone call and she goes, oh my God, this and this and this is happening. What are we going to do? And it's like, okay, you're presenting this to Oliver Queen, who is the Green Arrow. Like, you're testing him if he's going to run and do something with it. To me, that moment there would have told him that she's playing him. If he didn't know it, that should have figured it out. But if he did know it, that should have solidified that he knows she's playing him.
Yeah.
Or trying to play him.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the clues that he may know, there really are some there. I'm definitely hoping that that's the case, not only because it would be a better story, but also it would do justice to his character. I mean, mm-hmm. Come on, you know, like, we're supposed to believe this guy at this point has, you know, nearly a decade of experience of being this, like, trained cutthroat beast-like fighter. I would have a hard time believing that a reporter who was openly against him from the beginning could take him down. So I'm hoping there's going to be a really cool double cross at the end.
Yeah, I think so. Well, how about let's get to some transmissions and see what some of our listeners think, because I'm betting that they have hit on some of these things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, for sure. We got some great blog posts, some emails, some audio.
Yeah.
You guys had some great thoughts this week.
Cool. All right. Well, let's kick it off. What do you got? A blog post from Aaron here.
Yeah.
All right. Go for it.
Okay. So Aaron commented on our podcast last week and wanted to point out that she agrees with you regarding Black Canary being a metahuman. Some interesting discussions about the canaries by you, and she wonders if she's named Dinah on top of being the new Black Canary so that we'll see some sort of triangle thing and figure out who's endgame. You know, kind of an interesting conflict you pointed out between, like, the comic purists and the Elicity fans.
Right.
She hopes they don't do a triangle, but she does wonder. And then she says she comes down on the side of, she says, don't go teen drama, where the girls bicker over Oliver, but do leave enough time to do Elicity if that is endgame. She had some comments about Talia, and Talia was way more interesting in the flashbacks than Oliver, she pointed out, because she's connected to Nyssa and she loves Nyssa. I'm with you on that. I also love Nyssa, and I'm quite growing to love Talia as well.
As do we all.
Yes. I would love to see them fight alongside each other.
Yeah.
She kind of leans towards Talia is dead in present day, because if not, where was she during the whole thing with Roz and him forcing Oliver to marry Nyssa and all of that? Why was she not challenging Malcolm?
That's some good points she brings up.
She's still alive. Why has she been hiding? And she thinks that would be a very important topic to address before Talia could just show up in present day.
Good.
And then she also commented with Thea going full time again, she could still do mayoral duties, because if anybody should be mayor in the group, it's her. She says she agrees with me. Wild Dog is not on the top list of characters to see in scenes, hasn't really grown to care about him quite yet because of the attitude, but, you know, hopefully that will turn around. And she says she could do with a little less. Evelyn, she said, got screwed with the screen time. With the screen time count, that's true. We didn't really get to see very much of Evelyn back when she existed. She's currently missing, as is Thea. Mm-hmm. And she says she does worry about Wild Dog, Diggle, and Dinah all blending together because of similar skills.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Well, lots of good thoughts in that blog post. We loved it.
Definitely. Thanks for sending that in. Good points there. You're making me think of a couple things, so...
Yeah, I'm always thinking about Nyssa, 100% of the time.
She's just one of my favorite characters. She was just
loved
awesome.
Her.
But thanks for that, Aaron. Next we got, there was a blog post from Bianca, and I'll actually read this one out. It's a little bit shorter. She says, "Hey guys, I really liked last week's podcast because you articulated something that I was having a hard time putting my finger on. As much as I think this season has been an improvement and has fixed a lot of flaws, the show has lost so much heart. Technically, I think it's executed better, but I find myself so less invested this year, and what you talked about is exactly why. Because of the lack of OTA, Thea and Lance interactions. The new people are fine, but I wish they were more backgrounded for the characters I love. I'm also not comforted by rumors that Tina will be around all the time now, and that Wild Dog is getting his own episode complete with flashbacks." Oh, that I did not know. Interesting. Even the last IGN review suggested Diggle and Felicity should be written out of the show to focus on newbies. That's not the type of show I want to see. Not that it hasn't happened before. X-Files, ER, Grey's Anatomy, etc. all ended up with very few from the original cast in their later seasons. But the originals are why I watch. P.S. I really appreciate that you guys are trying to keep it close to an hour. Perfect length. Well, we're still trying.
Well, thank you. Yeah. There's a lot of good thoughts in there as well, Bianca.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that after this episode, you're kind of with me that they're starting to bring back the OTA. I mean, we got Diggle this episode. He got to fully be back on the team and back in the field. And then they reintroduced Lance to kind of slowly bring him in. And we might get Thea back, which is kind of what I was talking about last week when I said I think they might be doing that. They might slowly bring in our original team one by one. Remember, I was talking about that. So hey, I almost kind of called that this episode.
You did. Positivity is winning. OTA is returning. You are right.
All right. Next, we got a feedback from Christy.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and read Christy's out as well. She says, "I didn't realize that Oliver had already started crossing the names off the list before he got back to Starling City in season one, so that was cool to see. And she thought the team gelled really well in the episode, probably due to the fact that Diggle is back. She said she was surprised to see Black Canary be such an integral part of the team so quickly, but I loved everything we saw of her in this episode. Seeing Wild Dog pair off with Lance illustrated the fact that there are too many members on the team. I feel like Diggle fills Wild Dog's role on the team in terms of fighting style, and the rest of the team in Russia didn't miss him at all. I loved seeing Rory as the hero of this episode, even going so far as to protect Felicity from another Haven Rock incident. Hopefully he won't be gone for too long." Good feedback from Christy.
Yes, and she is totally picking up on our vibes there. I like how she points out that Rory was the hero of this episode, and as far as protecting Felicity from yet another incident, I didn't even think of it from that angle. He didn't want Felicity to go through that again.
That's
a pretty big step up for him to take. So
yeah, very cool. Keep her from having to make that, you know, tough moral decision again. And I thought that was a really cool way to sort of wrap up his storyline. You know, hopefully he'll be back, but it did wrap up his powers in a way.
Yeah. And also that's twice now, or a couple times we've heard that people feel like a lot of the characters have similar roles out in the field. So Diggle filling Wild Dog's role, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, Wild Dog more, he's like 90% shooting guns. He rarely gets into hand-to-hand, where Diggle, I think, does. He's a little more 50-50. But I can see the idea where they do look a little similar. I prefer Diggle out there. Cool. Well, we got a couple of voicemails, so I'm going to play one right now. Let's play Destiny Dazzler sent us a voicemail.
Hi, Arrow Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. So I really enjoyed this week's episode of Arrow, and I really enjoyed getting to see the team be in Russia. The way that Felicity blackmailed that guy at the tea house was awesome and also kind of scary. I definitely don't like Susan. Especially, I haven't liked her all season, but especially now that she has information about Oliver, I don't trust her even more. It was great to have Quentin back. I'm so excited he's back, and I can't wait to see what his storyline is for the rest of the season. And I really enjoyed the moment between Dinah and Oliver in the truck. As much as I am an Elicity fan and will always be an Elicity fan, I kind of wouldn't mind seeing them get together. So we'll see what happens. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Well, loved hearing that. We always love hearing from Destiny Dazzler.
Yeah, thank you. That's a moment we forgot to talk about, that big action sequence in the truck when Dinah leaned out the window and did her canary cry to blow the van over. That was a really cool scene. Yeah, that was really cool. And then actually the funny moment, was it Curtis that said, he goes, maybe they should think twice before rolling a van that has a nuclear bomb in the back of it.
I mean, good point. That's why we keep Curtis as the brains of the team, right?
Yes, exactly. Next, we had an email from I'm Just Here for Felicity.
Yeah. She says she thinks it's weird that they still have Evelyn in the group shot in the opening credits when she's not on the team anymore. We're all kind of wondering where Evelyn went. That's true. She says she hopes Thea gets back in town soon because she misses her, and that Talia continues to be her favorite part of the flashbacks. And she wants to see Talia and Nisa in a scene together more and more. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
She says, is anyone worried about Felicity messing with the Pandora's box USB when she's not completely focused? And has Oliver being hunted by Prometheus taught her nothing? Using the information is fine, but having an idea of the outcome so you know the best way to handle it. So she's worried that the Pandora's box USB might hurt the team. That's a good concern to have.
Yeah.
She liked the bit with Rory telling, talking to Felicity and, because the newbies need to not be scared of telling on the originals, she says, seeing Rory talk to Oliver about Felicity's decision to blackmail. She thought that was pretty cool. But she says, I think he may have told the wrong person in Oliver, as it'd be hypocritical of him to judge Felicity for doing the same thing he did early on. Very true. I don't think Oliver would mind Felicity blackmailing, all things considered. She also said, yay for Dinah calling out Oliver's brooding, and Susan's investigating continues to be interesting as the question remains, what is her end game? Does she just want to know about Oliver because it's her instinct to investigate, or is she gathering information for something more? I'm thinking, I don't know, what do you think, Flash? I think it was pretty obviously shady, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that get brought up again, because I've got the episode playing silently in the background, and it just went past the scene where she was in bed with Oliver, and after their little discussion and she lays her head down on his chest, I could see her struggling with what she's doing. She looked, the look on her face was that, oh man, I'm really liking this guy, but I have to keep doing my job. So you could see the struggle on her face just for a moment there.
So you think that she went in it to play him, but now she might be catching the feelings?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, this comment wraps up with, I'm just going to miss Rory. Speaking of missing people, where is Evelyn? Seems like forever since we last saw her. And Prometheus.
What's he up to?
And they had to know Oliver was out of town, so what are they doing to make moves for the future?
Yeah. Good question.
Comment. Always like hearing from I'm Just Here for Felicity. Speaking of Prometheus, we didn't really say much about him this episode, and I won't give any spoilers, but if anybody does want spoilers, the spoiler of who Prometheus is already floating around online if you want to go hunt that down.
Are you serious? They've already spoiled who it is?
Yeah, it's revealed on IMDb. in the cast list. So if you don't want to know, stick away from IMDb for a while. And if you do want to know, it's right there, clear as day.
Yes. Well, I, for one, do not want to know.
All right, well, there you go.
A reveal, so yes, please do not bring that to our attention in feedback or anything. That would be great. Muchly appreciated.
Yeah. We'll keep that spoiler-free until it's actually revealed.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for that email. We have now got a voicemail from Green Butterfly.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky, Green Butterfly. I had very low expectations for this episode when I noticed the title was Bratva. I'm just not that interested in Bratva with Prometheus lurking around, but I was pleasantly surprised. I loved each member of the team playing to their strengths. I'm getting used to the new canary, even though my favorite canary will always be Sarah Lance. I appreciated Dinah telling Oliver that your past will always be a part of you and you can't run from it. I'm glad that Felicity has found a new purpose, but I'm worried for the path she might be on. And I still don't like Susan. What is she going to do with this information she has? And yay, Rory saved the day and Quentin is back. This episode gets 9 out of 10 angry Russian dudes. Happy Superhero Friday, everyone. Green Butterfly out.
Always love hearing from our Green Butterfly.
Yes, it's always so sweet.
She puts a positive spin on a lot of things, but I'm glad to hear that she ended up being happy with the episode when she was a little bit worried going in. Yeah, I think we covered a lot of what she was bringing up, for sure.
Yeah, so for sure.
Hopefully we filled that for her. All right, and we've got one last feedback from, guess who? Podcast Overlord.
Ooh. Hey, everyone. Podcast Overlord here. First off, a couple of quick comments on the podcast episode before last. I was barely off the podcast on a regular basis, and you folks were already bagging on Katie Locke. Come on now. I think you're better than that. I know we like to have fun with that one. And you know, what can I say? I'm on the sidelines here. So feel free to share opinions. But yeah, when I look at Katie, I'm certainly looking at her whole body of work on Legends and Arrow, although early Arrow work might not have been her best. So I understand that. But I'll keep that in mind, Flash, the next time I guest host on Tomorrow's Legends, because we may have to have a chat about that when we're on there together. But a couple of quick thoughts on last night's episode. It's funny, I liked a lot of the character interactions, but the overall story bit, I don't know, just didn't quite hold together as well as some other recent stuff. So it was good seeing some of the different characters on what they were working on and interacting with each other. The Wild Dog Quentin stuff was really good, and I appreciated some of the stuff happening in Russia, but I don't know, the whole thing as a whole wasn't, I guess, as good as the pieces were to me, anyway. But there's definitely some good stuff there. So I enjoyed it, but I'm looking forward to hearing what the two of you thought and the rest of the squad. All right. I hope you guys have a great week.
Awesome. Thanks, Overlord, for sending that in.
Aw.
It's good. It's
always
good
that... love hearing from him, even if he's reprimanding us for not being as big of a fan as he is.
Man, I cannot wait. I think that would be quite the debate if I get him over on my Tomorrow's Legends show to discuss. The thing is I just wasn't a fan of her in her Arrow beginnings, but I love her so much now on Legends. So I really don't know what the problem is. Yeah, he should be happy that I like her now.
I think, you know, I'm a fan of all superheroines and all female villains, just on principle. So she gets an A-okay from me on those grounds, if nothing else.
Cool. Well, thanks, Overlord. It's great to have your voice still on the show with us. Now, we've got one final voice that has been missing this entire episode.
Oh, you can't see me, but I'm making a pouty face.
Yeah. We've got a message here from the Shadow, and I don't know how else to put it. He was unavailable tonight, but I think he'd like to share a few of his thoughts with what's happening going forward from this episode on. I'm just going to play it and we can talk a little bit after. Is that okay?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Hello, Arrow Squad. This is the Shadow. I'm not able to be with you this week, unfortunately, but it is unfortunately the time for me now to also step down. To be completely honest, I should have stepped down with the Podcast Overlord when he did it. I knew it was time to do it then, but you know, I wanted to keep the show going. I did not want to let you, the squad, down at all. So I did everything in my power to keep it going against my better judgment. And to be completely honest, I mentioned this, you know, a few episodes back. There are just a lot of things going on, overwhelming amount of projects that I'm working on right now. The Real Brian show has really taken off, which is very exciting. And also, you know, I did mention that just needing to take care of some personal responsibilities. And it has been very, very, very difficult to juggle Aero Squad in this mix. So I know that it's time for me to step back, focus on what I need to focus on. Certainly not in any way drag Aero Squad down, which I hope I haven't. But I just want to make sure that I don't, because certainly that would never be my intention. I want you to also to know, and this is very important, that this has been one of the toughest decisions that I've had to make in a very long time. You know, this show's been integrated into my life for over 3.5 years now, if you can believe that. We started this back in 2013. So more than 3.5 years, this show has been integrated in my life. And it's been an incredible, incredible, incredible experience. I got to tell you, where I'm at in podcasting today is very much due to Aero Squad. Aero Squad gave me, I mean, an incredible opportunity to be a part of a larger world, not just with podcasting, but also with the fan communities, other podcasters, TV fandom, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Having the opportunity to host panels at Heroes and Villains Fan Fest and meeting and hanging out with the actors. I've always wanted to meet those people. You know, such an exciting thing. Meeting some of you face to face at these conventions, which was also an absolutely incredible thing. And most importantly, in general, meeting you, period. Whether we've met face to face or not. I mean, honestly, many of my really great friendships that I have today are because of Aero Squad. It's actually interesting as I look back prior to being a part of Aero Squad, most of my friends were local. And now, because of Aero Squad, most of my friends are not local. They're you. You know, you guys out of city, out of state, out of country even. And so it's been really, really neat to be able to make some of these friendships. And honestly, that is the best thing about being a part of podcasting. And I've said this before. So it really is actually an amazing, amazing thing what has come as a result of Aero Squad. And I'm so thankful for that. But it really, truly is time for me to step down and let others step up. I have full confidence in Martin and Cammy to take this show forward. They've already shared with me their desire and their passion to take the baton and run with it. And I'm excited for them, and I believe in them, and I know they're going to do a great job. And this is also going to allow me to really focus my time and energy into The Real Brian Show, which it truly is my purpose and my priority right now. And so I invite you to join me there if you're interested. RealBrianShow.com. Come check it out. Always love your feedback, and I'd love to connect with you there. So thank you, seriously, for everything, for allowing me to be one of your hosts for 3.5 years, for your friendship, for talking Aero with me. I mean, it's been so much fun. And it really has been an amazing and wild ride, and I appreciate every bit of it. And I appreciate each of you for being a part of this amazing community. So please keep in touch with me. I'll do the same with you, if you want to, that is. You can join me on Twitter if you want, at I Am The Real Brian. You can find me on Facebook. I'm under The Real Brian. Whatever. It's up to you. Probably the easiest thing to do, which is the easiest thing to remember, is just go to realbrianshow.com. All of my contact information is there. You can even connect with me there and email me. So thank you again so much. I mean, it really has been an honor. It's been a privilege. And again, this is a very tough decision, but I know it's the right one to make. So thank you again for being a part of my life for the past 3.5 years and for allowing me to be a part of yours as well. This is The Shadow signing off.
Well, there you go.
Aww.
Okay. So here's where it's at. I understand that our listeners, that was probably a bit of a bomb dropped. I don't know. But we have a lot of listeners that love both The Overlord and The Shadow, and even Miss Ice when we had her. And, you know, it's very upsetting to be losing what essentially is Aero Squad's OTA.
Right.
But it's been 3.5 years, almost 4 years, 4 seasons coverage of Aero Squad. And, you know, people's lives change. Things mm-hmm. happen in behind the scenes that our listeners don't know about. And, you know, think people got to move on. They have to do things. So the Overlord and Shadow and even Miss Ice, they, you know, did their absolute best with the show, and they ran it for a long time, and they did an amazing job. And me and Cammy are here to step in and keep the show going. We might have a bit different flavor to it. We're going to bring our own energy and, as the Shadow said, passion to the show, because we're still loving it and we love these characters. So we hope that our listeners out there will give us a chance and mm-hmm. use this episode, our very first one together, just the two of us, as sort of a testing grounds if they're going to like us two together and, you know, give us a chance, stick with us and see how we finish out the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. I know I remember the first time, and I've told the story before, the first time I met Kevin at Dragon Con, and there was just sort of this immediate connection. We're like, oh, this is such a great fan, and we're so on the same page. And then there was the same thing when I met Brian through Arrow Squad recording, and I was like, oh, you know, there's so much energy there, and he has so much passion for Arrow Squad, and Brian did so much for Arrow Squad, as you guys know, for so long, and, you know, just that constant voice and that constant presence and energy, it was so great, and I learned so much from the two of them, and it was amazing to get to be a part of the show with them. And I, like you guys, am heartbroken to see them go, even though I'm still here cheering them on the sidelines, knowing they're, you know, the reasons that they're moving on is because they have so much to do and so many great things that they're working on. And that's a good thing. It means they've grown through this, and, you know, we get to be here to cheer them on, and we get to, you know, carry on the show for you guys. And, yeah, you know, I mean, you guys have heard me on here. I'm an old schooler too, where I'm like, oh, you know, I want OTA back on Arrow. So I understand those who are probably listening to this being like, oh, I want OTA back on Arrow Squad as well. But hopefully you'll give us newbies a chance as well. And, you know, give us some feedback as well. Tell us what you would like to see. Tell us what you like to hear on the show, or what you'd like to hear more of on the show. And, you know, send in your thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, support us like you've supported the OTA Aero Squad, and we'll do our very best going forward. We will do what we can to keep the show entertaining and the Aero Squad that you know and love. And, you know, we wholeheartedly support Kevin and Brian and even Emily when she left, that they're, you know, they're making the right choices for themselves in their lives. We're backing them, and we're backing Aero Squad. So yeah, definitely stick with us, and we'll do our best.
And next week, Spectre of the Gun, episode 13 of season 5 of Arrow.
Yeah, so tune in. We'll chat at you next time. Cammy, I think this was fun. I think, you know, for our first episode together.
This was fun. Same time next week.
All right. Everybody out there, take care. This is The Flash, signing out.
And I'm Cammy. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.